guys. Welcome, everybody, to our Kirat Elevation Amir and Beyond's Women's Cheer with Emma Hebert. We're so excited. Really am. It's been a long time coming, and we're just thrilled that finally we have the opportunity to host Emma Hebert. Really needs no introduction. I think many of us know personally, but just v'chvod harav, Rabbi Heber is Midrash HaTorah Avoda, right? Mm-hmm. And we've taught at other seminaries as well. And he's a very knowledgeable tour guide, so you can book your slot today. You're going to get a plug for that. And on a personal note, has been a mentor since MMY, and it's a privilege.
Which was how long ago?
Too long. It's just not
okay, never mind. I was trying to remember.
It's like 2000. It's like, oh my God, we have too long. Over 10 years.
Old. Wow. Don't feel that long.
So
yes.
And here's the point.
We said 2011.
And just, also on a personal note, this year I should be in the Sfos of Aliyah Neshama for my husband's grandfather. Passed away many years ago. Shimon Ben Shlomo, I believe it is his yahrzeit today, last night today. And he was a survivor of Auschwitz, and as my husband says, he came with absolutely nothing and built a beautiful life for himself, and I'm sure he'd be shedding a lot of nachas to know that now his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, are living the dream in Beis Shemir, Israel, and
wow.
He has so much fam in Aliyah, so thank
Amen.
You so much.
Amen. Okay, thank you. This is really exciting for me. Just before I start, do we have a time frame here? You better give me one, or I'll just keep going.
3 hours.
Don't say that.
no
specific.
Hour, okay?
Okay, said that's what I figured.
Right?
Okay. So first of all, yes, for those who I know, it's so nice to see you, and those who I don't, nice to see you too. So I was asked to speak a little bit, some words of Hashkafa leading up to Pesach. It's not even Nisan yet, but we're past Purim. And we talk about Pesach, we're really talking about Geula. And the Gemara tells us, "V'nisan nigalu, v'nisan atidin lehigael." Nisan is the month of Geula. And Geula is something that I think we all feel the need for right now, much more, perhaps more powerfully than we have in the past. So I thought, perhaps by looking at a few familiar texts from the Haggadah and expanding on it a little bit, I thought, hello, it's my niece. She gets a special hello. You know, that's what I'm doing. I thought by looking at a few texts from the Haggadah and perhaps delving into them a little deeper than we're used to, maybe we can uncover some insights that maybe can be helpful to us, both inspirational and instructional, I think, to us right now in general and in our current situation in particular. So here's a few things from the Haggadah that I think we all know by heart even, or if at the very least will undoubtedly sound familiar. But there is a number of texts, there are many texts like this actually, there are many things that I, things that I've read my whole life and, you know, just kind of read them over and over and over again. And then finally one day after reading it for the 1,000th time or something like that, I stop and say, wait, what does that exactly mean? So here's a few examples. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. Every generation, a person has to see himself, or herself, we can say, as if he or she has left Egypt. When you tell the story, right? We're supposed to tell our children, be got to tell the bincha. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk even, because one of the pesukim that we answer the child is, bavur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. I'm supposed to speak in the first person. This is what God did for me when I left Egypt. Okay, fine. What exactly does that mean? Meaning, the Rambam has a slightly different version of the text, a different girsa. The Rambam says, leharot et atzmo, ki'ilu, right? To make oneself appear as if. Okay, so that's maybe a little bit easier. Maybe it means I'm supposed to put on some kind of a dramatic presentation or something like that. But the text that most of us have, and the one that appears in our Haggadot, and in the text of the Mishnah, that's the source bit that we have, says, leharot et atzmo, I'm supposed to view myself. Has anybody here ever been to Egypt? Okay, me neither. And certainly I wasn't around, you know, however many thousand of years ago. What exactly does that, what does that mean? And we don't say this about other things. We just celebrated Purim. We made a bracha even. Thank you. Shasani sim lavotenu bayamim haheim bazman hazeh. We don't say we're supposed to feel as if we were there. It happened in the past. But something about Yetziat Mitzrayim seems to be different. Question number one. Here's another text, maybe a little bit less familiar because it's not in the Haggadah exactly. Well, it is in the Haggadah, but there's a debate about what's in the Haggadah. At the primary fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yetziat Mitzrayim, we do before eating the matzah and the maror, during the part that we call Magid. And when we finish the entire thing, the Mishnah tells us in the 10th parak of Pesachim that the last thing we need to do is v'chotem b'giula. There needs to be a bracha about giula. And in fact, in our Haggadah, right before we drink the second cup, we recite such a bracha. But there's actually a machloket in the Mishnah, what should be the text of that bracha? Machloket between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Tarfon says, the text of the bracha is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Ge'alanu V'Ge'al Et Avoteinu Mimitzrayim. That's what he says. Right? We thank God for redeeming us and our ancestors from Egypt. Again, there's that redeeming us. There's that indication that somehow we're personally connected to this. But that's the bracha according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva says, he agrees that we're supposed to say that, but he says, no, you can't stop there. The bracha has to continue. What do you have to add? And we follow Rabbi Akiva. We don't end that with Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'ala Tavotinu Mitzrayim. It has to continue with a tefillah. Kein Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu Yagiyenu L'Mo'adim V'L'Ragein L'Machirim Abayim L'Krateinu L'Shalom. Please God, bring us to future opportunities to celebrate, smechim b'vinyan yirecha v'sasim b'avodatecha, and in the future regalim, the future holidays, we should be able to be smechim, we should rejoice in the building of your city and in serving you. V'nochal sham min hazvachim u'min hapsachim asher yagi adama madgir mizbechat al ratzon baruch atah Hashem ga'al Yisrael. Right, and end with a tefillah that, assumedly, maybe things will still be different already this year, but at least for many thousands of years, none of us has ever been to a real Seder Pesach. I hope you know that. The most significant part, the centerpiece of the Seder Pesach is missing. It's all supposed to be about the Korban Pesach. Right? And Ikar Chaser Men HaSefer. So we have to have a tefillah that in future Pesachs we'll actually be able to celebrate Pesach properly with the Korban Pesach. Here again, we have to ask. Okay, fine. Obviously, we prayers are always good, and we understand that we're praying for Geula, etc. But Rabbi Tarfon's bracha sounded like it was more on target. The mitzvah is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We told the story, and if we're going to end with a bracha praising God for what He did, seems to make sense. Why is Rabbi Akiva so insistent that no, right now in the middle of this bracha, we have to insert a tefillah for the future? Question number two. If I put question number one and question number two together, what have I just seen? I'm supposed to be, what's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? I'm supposed to sit here in the present, talking about the past, but feeling as if I'm there in the past. And I cannot do that if we accept Rabbi Akiva, which we do, la'alacha, without looking towards the future as well. In other words, there's something about this which is different than, for example, what we just did on Purim. And by the way, there's a connection between Purim and Pesach. Dafka this year. The Gemara Megillah asks, when you have two Adars, it's a whole discussion, which one we should read the Megillah in. There's a debate in the Gemara. But the ultimate conclusion is, as we know, it's in Adar Sheni. Why? Kedei l'smoch geula l'geula. Purim has to be right before Pesach. Has to be. So there's a connection between the two, and yet there's a difference between the two. There it's Shasan Yisim Lavoteinu Bayamim Ahim, Bazman Hazeh, Bayamim Ahim. But here there's something about this geula of Nisan that seems to transcend time and space. We have to simultaneously be living in the past and living in the future, even as we're here in the present. And I think what's beginning to come out of this, and then I want to discuss one more source and elaborate on it, which is a really, really fascinating one, I think is really going to open up a window for us to how to look at this, is that Geula, particularly this type of Geula, and the Geula of Purim is a different type of Geula. The Geula of Purim is, there was a threat, there was a potential disaster, and thank God it was averted and we were saved. Hatzalas, we were saved. That happened in the past, and Baruch Hashem, it continues to happen. We can draw inspiration from it, but when we talk about redemption, when we talk about the ultimate geula, it's a process. It's a process that began with Yitziat Mitzrayim and ends with the ultimate geula, and there's a continuum there. And we have to live in that continuum. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, therefore, is not history. It can't be history. It has to be the past and the present and the future all wrapped up into one. And this leads us to a fascinating. It starts with a Mishnah, which again, the Mishnah we're familiar with because we quote it in the Mishnah in Brachot, we quote in the Haggadah. So let's start with that. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani ben Kiven Shivim Shana, Velo Zachiti Shetayamer Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelo. Right? We all heard, I'm sure, many different Torah, what he meant when he said he's Kiven Shivim Shana. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, there's something I never understood. Lo Zachiti, I never was privileged to understand how it is or why it is that we mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. Now what he's talking about here is not the mitzvah that we fulfill on the night of the Seder, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. He's not talking about that mitzvah. There's actually two separate mitzvah regarding Yitziat Mitzrayim. One is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, which we fulfill at the night of the Seder. According to Rav Soloveitchik, maybe we would fulfill it one other time of year also when we bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. But that's Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Fundamentally on the night of Pesach, the Leil HaSeder. But there's another mitzvah called Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. The Torah says, "Leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'aretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha." You have to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim every single day. In a minute, we'll talk about what those exact words mean. Kol yemei chayecha. We fulfill this mitzvah. How? When? Where? In Kriyat Shema. In the third parak of Kriyat Shema. Right. We have three parshiot in Kriyat Shema. The first two we recite in the morning at night because it says so. In both of them it says, B'shoch b'chav kumach, at night in the morning. The third one, Parshat Tzitzit, the Gemara tells us, it's an interesting question why they chose Parshat Tzitzit, that's for another time, but the reason why we recite Parshat Tzitzit as part of Kriyat Shema at night and in the morning is because of the final pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Liot Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So, we have to do that every day. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's something I never understood. I'm almost 70 years old, something I never understood. Why is it that we do that at night? Maybe part of his question was because it's presented to us in context of the mitzvah of tzitzit. The mitzvah of tzitzit, in theory, applies only in the daytime. But anyway, he says, I never understood that. Ad shedrasha ben Zoma, until ben Zoma came and explained it to me. Shenemar, it says what? Leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'aretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. All the days of your life. It could have just said, be yemei chayecha or something like that. It said, kol yemei chayecha. And that extra word, kol, is coming to add something. So yemei chayecha yamim, kol yemei chayecha lelo. That's what he says. I never understood this, but Ben Zoma explained it to me. That extra word, kol, tells me I have to say, remember Yitziat Mitzrayim not only in daytime, but also every night. Okay, fine. Come along the Chachamim and disagree. They say no. That can't be the source. Why? Because we have to learn something else from that extra word. It's not true what Ben Zoma said. It's a debate among the Mefarshim whether the Chachamim disagree and actually think that we don't say Yitziat Mitzrayim at night in Kriyat Shema, or whether they agree that we do it, but they have a different source. But in any case, what's important for us right now is that they strongly disagree with Ben Zoma and say that can't be the way we know that you have to say Kriyat Shema at night, Yitziat Mitzrayim in Kriyat Shema at night, because we learn something else from that extra word, kol. It's used for something else. It can't teach us that. What does it teach us? Yemei chayecha ha'olam hazeh, kol yemei chayecha lahavi limot ha'mashiach. That's what the Chachamim say. That extra word, kol, teaches us not yemei chayecha would mean just every day. And Ben Zoma said that extra word, kol, means also every night. They say, no, it doesn't teach us that. It teaches us not just every day now, but even in Yimot HaMashiach. Okay, we say that in Haggadah every year. Are we going to, when Mashiach comes, are we going to do like other mitzvot? Like, am I going to still put on tefillin when Mashiach comes? Are we going to still keep Shabbat when Mashiach comes? Make Kiddush, stuff like that? We assume yes, right? The Rambam tells us all the mitzvot. Do we have like a special pasuk in each mitzvah telling me that this mitzvah will still apply when Mashiach comes? That's the assumption, right? What did Ben Zoma mean when he said, we need an extra word to teach us that even when Mashiach comes, we're still going to talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim? That sounds superfluous. There's a mitzvah to do it. All mitzvot are supposed to last forever. And Ben Zoma says, don't, and we did need a pasuk apparently to tell me that I need to say, you remember you see it in the Shrine at night. Ben Zoma says, no, it's not from that, because I need that pasuk to tell me we're going to do this mitzvah when Mashiach comes. It's very strange. But it's even stranger than that. Because not only, the Gemara asks a question about this, and the Gemara's question is not the question I just asked. The Gemara did not ask, why do we need a pasuk, obviously. The Gemara asked the exact opposite question. It's actually a braita. It's a braita that expands as often happens. The Mishnah gives us a short version of the debate, and there's another version called a braita, which gives us a more fleshed out version. According to the braita, the conversation continued. They said to Ben Zoma, you can't learn from that pasuk because we need that word kol to tell me we're going to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes. Ben Zoma says, you're wrong. And I'll prove to you you're wrong. Because we're not going to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes. What? No. V'chi maskirin Yitzhak Mitzrayim limot Mashiach? No, actually when Mashiach comes, we're not going to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim anymore, claims Ben Zoma. How can that be? He says it's an explicit pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, Hine yaimim baim nu mashem, v'lo yom ruot. The day will come, promises Yirmiyahu. Erev the Churban, Yirmiyahu lived in Yerushalayim at the final years. Desperately tried, had a tragic life, Yirmiyahu. He walked the streets of Yerushalayim and tried to avert a disaster that he knew was coming, and nobody listened to him, and they threw him in a pit, and they almost killed him. And at some point he said, it's too late to prevent the capture of the city, but we can prevent the Churban. Just surrender. And they didn't listen to him, and he had to watch his own nevuah come true. But he also gave us nevuot nechama. And one of his nevuot nechama, Yirmiyahu said, the day will come. Yerushalayim is finished. Beit HaMikdash is finished. But there is a future. There is a hope. And said Yirmiyahu, Hine yamim ba'im nu Hashem. V'lo yomru od. When this day happens, people will no longer say, Chai Hashem asher he'alat b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. No longer will people say, wow, Hashem is amazing. He took us out of Egypt. Ki'im, Chai Hashem asher he'alat asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael me'eretz Safona mikol ha'aratzot asher idachtim sham. The future Geula, says Yirmiyahu, is going to be so much greater than Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt, mi beit avadim, and brought us to Eretz Israel. In the future, there's going to be this geula when we're scattered around the world. And Hashem brings us back from all over the world. And that's going to be so great that people aren't going to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim anymore. They're going to talk instead about that. And therefore, said Ben Zoma to the Chachamim, actually, first of all, my question, says Ben Zoma, is no question at all. Not only would we need a pasuk to tell me we were going to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes, but we actually are not going to, and therefore the pasuk can't teach us what Ben Zoma said he was going to teach us. That's mind-boggling. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, maybe we would have understood that pasuk sort of metaphorically. Ben Zoma says, no. When Mashiach comes and we sit down to Leil HaSeder, we're not going to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The Geula that began with Yitzhak Mitzrayim is going to turn into something else, so much greater. Amru lo chachamim push back, and they say, no. It's true what you say. It's true that Yirmiyahu told us that the future Geula will eclipse Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But that doesn't, and he said, we're not going to talk about it. He didn't mean we're not going to talk about it at all. What Yirmiyahu meant is, shetehe shibud malchiyot ikar, v'yitziyat Mitzrayim tafelo. And that's what we need Kol to teach us. That even though it's true that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to talk so much more about Yitziyat Mitzrayim. Because the future Geula is going to be so much greater. But even when that happens, we still have to remember Yitziyat Mitzrayim. And they try to prove it, that just because it says Lo Yeh Amer, it doesn't mean that. The Gemara goes on and says, or the Braita goes on and says, it said to Yaakov, Lo Yeh Kare Od Shimcha Yaakov, Kim Yisrael Yeshmacha. You're not going to be called Yaakov anymore, you're going to be called Yisrael. But we see that he did still get called Yisrael. So you can do both. And according to the Chachamim, that's the message here. And then the Braita goes on a little further, and it refers to another pasuk in Yeshayahu. where Yeshayahu says, "Al tizkeru rishonot v'kadmoniot al titbonanu." Don't think about the earlier things. What does he mean by that? And he says, there also, the future events are going to be so much greater than the ones in the past. But to explain this, he explains that there's something going on here that's part of human nature. Mashal lema'a davar dome. I'll tell you what this is like. La'adam, let's say you have this guy, Shayam Halech Baderech. Someone was walking on the road. Ufaga bo ze'ev v'nitzam imenu. Guy was walking on the road, and a wolf attacked him, and somehow he managed to be saved. He thought he was going to be killed by the wolf, and somehow he managed to escape and be saved. And when he got to wherever he was going, he started telling the people, "You're not going to believe what happened to me. He made a kiddush, he made a suda soda, I don't know what it was. You're not going to believe what happened to me. I was almost killed by a wolf." But then the same guy, well, as we'll see in a minute, doesn't have so much good fortune because things keep happening to him. Pagabo Ari. And then he was attacked by a lion. Then he finally met him. And he was saved from that too. When he got to the next place, Hayam Esaper Baalech Mase Ari. He stopped talking about the wolf. Now he's talking about the lion. But then Pagabo Nachash. Then he was attacked by a snake. Then he tell me menu. Shachach Mase Shnehem Vayam Esaper Baalech Mase Nachash. Af Kach Yisrael, says the Brayta. Same thing is true for Am Yisrael. Tsarot acharonot mishakchot et harishonot. The later troubles make us forget the earlier ones. That's human nature. And this is the Chachamim's position in the end. That's human nature. We're very rooted in the present. And we think about now or the very immediate past. And we don't always have that big perspective. That's normal. It's justified. Yirmiyahu says that's what's going to happen. And the halacha even acknowledges that that's what should happen, especially because the later redemption is going to be greater than the earlier one, which was Yirmiyahu's point. But, say the Chachamim, kol yemei chayecha, you can't forget where it all started. And again, if we put all these texts together, and I'll tell you where I think we have to go with this. We put all these texts together, we understand that there is something unique about Leila Seder, and there is something different about what we do than other Nisim that we commemorate at other times, Chanukah, Purim, and whatever else. There's something about the Geula that starts at Yitziat Mitzrayim. Even then, by the way, Yitziat Mitzrayim was just the beginning of a process. Right? We have Sfirat HaOmer that connects, right, Yitziat Mitzrayim, at least to Matan Torah. When you really understand Shavuot, Shavuot goes beyond Matan Torah. Shavuot is really about entering Eretz Yisrael. It's a different year for a different time, but ultimately that's not the end of the process either. The end of the process is only when we get to the end of the story, and somehow all three of these things—the past, the present, the future—have to kind of come together. And why is that? I think the answer is that. There's a bit of a debate about this in Chazal, and maybe even, if one can say such a thing, there might even be a debate among the Nevi'im about this. But ultimately, it seems that the conclusion is that the Geula is dependent on us. Or at least that, yeah, let's say the Geula is dependent on us. Now, the Gemara records the debate in Sanhedrin between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in Israel, osim tshuva nigalim, v'im lav ein nigalim. We'll be redeemed if we do our part. The exile and the suffering ultimately is because of our sins. If we repent our sins, we'll be redeemed. And if we don't, we won't. Amar li Rabbi Yoshua, im ein osim tshuva ein nigalim. How can that be? All the Nevi'im told us we're going to be redeemed. Ella Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lahem melech shegzerotav kashot kehaman Yisrael osin tshuva matziran emutav. Maybe technically we have to do tshuva, but if we don't do tshuva, Hashem will arrange it that we do. He'll put us in a bad enough situation that we're going to do tshuva. So is there a debate here? Or is there not a debate here? Rabbi Eliezer said, if we don't do tshuva, we won't be redeemed. Sounds like it's not guaranteed. The Rambam, as I think everybody knows, puts as one of his 13 Ikrei Amunah, his 13 principles of faith, right? We sing it all the time, Ani Ma'amin B'Munah Shel, he didn't write these words actually, but he essentially says this, Ani Ma'amin B'Munah Shel B'Viat HaMashiach, right? I'm absolutely sure Mashiach's going to come. So, tell me, does the Rambam hold like Rabbi Eliezer that says that the Geula is conditional and it may happen or may not happen, or does he hold like Rabbi Yeshua, who says it's going to happen one way or the other? We would assume he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. But of course, I wouldn't have brought it up if this wasn't one of those classic Rambams where he seems to contradict himself. Because he writes explicitly in Hilchot Tshuva, Kol Hanaviim Kulan Tzivu Al HaTshuva. He talks about how important Tshuva is. Ve'ein Yisrael Nigalin Ela B'Tshuva. We will not be redeemed if we don't do Tshuva. But he already said, or not already, later on he says, in the end, in Hilchot Melachim, he says that we have to believe Mashiach is going to come.
Doesn't that just mean he believes that people will do Tshuva? 100%
that's what it means. But Salvechi pointed out, and he says himself in the next sentence, you're 100% correct. Ukvar hivticha Torah, says Sof Yisrael asot Tshuva. Besof galutan. Correct. But understand what that means. That means, first of all, this is an extremely powerful idea when you start to contemplate it. Belief, faith in the coming of the Geula is faith in God, yes. But even more than that, it's faith in ourselves. Right? The Geula can't come until we do what we have to do as a nation. And if we're guaranteed that the Geula will come, it means that we're guaranteed ultimately. Am Yisrael is going to do Tshuva. That is part of that, part and parcel of those haftachot, of those promises. But as Rabbi Yeshua told us, it can happen in one way or it can happen in another way. And therefore, in the end, it's up to us. And I think that's what all those texts from the Haggadah were telling us. That remembering Yitzhak Mitzrayim, first of all, it's not about the past only, and it's not even primarily about the past. It's primarily about the future. But not just that. It's an active remembering. It's remembering for a purpose. It's not simply to commemorate history and not even to learn from history. I have to be as if I left Egypt, and I have to be looking forward. When I say, in Rabbi Akiva says in the same bracha, you can't just say thank you Hashem Asher Ge'alanu. That has to be connected intimately with Kein Hashem Elokeinu. We're not done, and it's an active process. The goal is not just to pray. The goal is for us to do what we need to do. Geula is in our hands. That's what all these sources are telling us.
But if Mitzrayim was, did they do what they needed to do to get the
Geula? Yechezkel says no. But Yechezkel also seems to say that that's what I alluded to when I suggested the possibility of a Yechezkel's Geula is very different than, let's say, Yirmiyahu's Geula. Or at least so it looks on for them, but that's for another shiur. But ultimately, what the Gemara does in Masechet Sanhedrin with that is it ultimately interprets these as there along the lines of what Rabbi Yeshua was saying here also, is that there are different ways it can happen. Zachu, it can be this way; lo zachu, it can be that way, right? So we have to do our part, but how it's going to happen, is very much up to us. And I think when you dig deep enough into Yechezkel, you see that too. But all right, that's for a whole other, shiur. So if we understand that, let me try a little bit now to sort of just like put this into some kind of context of what this means for us here and now. And I'll talk about the past 6 months and the current situation, but let me just first zoom out, just for a moment, because I don't think we can understand what has changed since Simchat Torah until we zoom out and understand like what's the big picture to begin with. And to me, when I zoom out, I'll get to the past 6 months in a minute and the current situation. But when I zoom out, I just look at the big picture of what's going on here. It's extremely clear to me. However one interprets this specifically and whatever the details are, which I don't know that we can even know, but that in the big picture, we are living in the time when these events that future Geula is looming on the horizon, and perhaps much closer even than that, is extremely clear. If Yirmiyahu said that the day will come when we're, let's read it the way the Chacham read it, when we're barely going to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, because the future Geula is going to eclipse that so much. What was it about the future Geula that he said is going to be so amazing? Kibbutz Galuyot. The fact that Am Yisrael is going to come back from around the world to Eretz Yisrael, that is going to be, Yetziat Mitzrayim is nothing compared to that. That's not me talking. That's Yirmiyahu HaNavi talking. And we're living through this. We're living through this. I don't know exactly how diverse your neighborhood is. I imagine you could do something like this here. Okay, but one time many years ago in Alon Shvut, they did this thing when we were still like a small yeshuv who had like all kinds of community activities. They still try to do it, but Baruch Hashem, it's a little bit too big for that. But they went around and asked every family in the yeshuv if you made Aliyah, the adults, you know, where from, and if you were born in Israel, where your, I think, parents came from, or maybe grandparents, but only a few generations back. And they collected all the places, and they made this incredible visual, tiny yeshuv, where they hung up a map of the world. Like some artistic people did this. They put like pins all over the map where all the people were from, and like strings or something like that, all going to Eretz Yisrael. It was mind-blowing. And you could do this here, I'm sure. Right? The only question is how many streets away you have to go before you get a little bit out of whatever bubble you may or may not be in. But it's for sure true here. And it's true all over the country. And the numbers are incredible. Almost half, I'm into this stuff, I read demographics, almost half of Am Yisrael, we're at like something, no one knows exactly, but we're at something like 46% of the Jews in the world are living in Eretz Yisrael now. But even that doesn't fully show the whole picture. Because when you look at, this is the only place in the world where there are more, where Jews have a positive, they're the only country in the world, where Jews have a positive birth rate, where there are more Jews being born than dying every year. And if you like do a survey of like the Jewish children, like anyone under 18 or something like that, we're at like 70% is in Eretz Yisrael. Like the Kibbutz Galuyot is happening in front of our eyes. I was just mentioning, you know, I'm old enough and I've lived here long enough to see with my own eyes. I came to Gush Etzion in 1986 to learn in yeshiva. There was nothing there, nothing. I was just mentioning. We used to have to go to Yerushalayim to get a slice of pizza and to go through, and we had to go through Beit Lechem to do it, the tunnels and what, and. It's so incredible. What do we say in Tehillim? Shir Amalok B'Shuv Hashem Et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kecholmim. It's a dream. When you're dreaming, you don't realize you're in a dream. If you step back and you look at it, it just blows your mind. There's no way to, it makes no sense, and it's against all odds, and it's exactly what Yirmiyahu was talking about. The process is far from done. I'm not saying, right, but the idea that Nivuot are just coming true in front of our eyes. Okay, fine, great. And it's not just that. We have sovereignty and we're independent and the explosion of Torah learning, like, you know, the amount of people learning Torah today, never in history, anything like this. Nothing like this. The Volozhin Yeshiva, which was like the flagship institution of Eastern Europe, the Volozhin Yeshiva. You know how many people were at its height? Like when it was like 250? 300? The Mir. How many area? What are they up to in Yerushalayim? 6,000, 7,000, and another branch in New York. Do you know how many people learned in Mir? In actual Mir? Also, maybe 200? Nothing like this has ever existed. Ever. And we could go on and on and on and on. So you have to take a step back and just realize that. Okay, I've been talking like this. Some of you know me for 20 years, for 30 years. I've been talking this whole time. And then Simchat Torah hit this year. And things that we thought we were beyond, things that we thought we weren't going back to, guess it's not like that. And the last 6 months, it's almost 6 months now, almost to the day, right? This is what's today, Chaf Bet Adar Sheni, 6 months, maybe to the day almost today. It was Torah's Chaf Gimel. I'm about to hit a six-month anniversary. Right afterwards, I didn't know what, like all of us, you know, trying to make sense out of all this. And there were things that made no sense. What happened, like the absolute complete, there's no word, I don't have words for it, but the total collapse of our defenses, like intelligence and like, I'll just tell you one, just so you understand, my son, Tzvi, he just finished 4 months of Miluim about 2 months ago, but when he was in his regular army service, he was in Givati, and Givati trains for Aza, that's what they do. And he spent part of his service when they were, you know, they built that incredible wall that goes down underground across however tens of billions of shekels and whatever it is. I remember him telling me, this is what they told him in the army. Okay, Abba, he said, you know, right now, like, the Gaza border is like one of the more dangerous places, but in another year or 6 months, he said, something like that, like, it's going to be nothing. Like, you know, they're going to send, like, it's going to be like the easiest thing. They're going to send like the units aren't really so well trained, because like they have this wall now and they won't be able to go under it and they won't be able to do anything. Yeah, that worked out really well. He said when he was in the army, they did a targil, they did an exercise where they simulated an attack of Hamas soldiers taking over a kibbutz or something like that, or an army base, one or the other, I remember it was, and like half of them had to pretend to be Hamas guys, and they were joking the whole time. This is so funny. Except that it wasn't. You have to ask, like, okay, there'll be a commission of inquiry at some point eventually, they'll work out, but really? Like, how? It doesn't make any sense. That's one thing. And the second thing, I wish I could say I was surprised about this, but I predicted it, unfortunately, that the anti-Semitism that we're seeing all over the world, like, it's just mind-boggling. When you talk about, like, actual crimes against humanity, like, this whole thing, like, Holocaust denial and stuff like that, I never fully understood. But, like, we're talking about stuff happening in real time. Like, we're not even talking about 70 years. We're talking about stuff that happened not just a few months ago. I mean, you can go see it. It's all there. And not only that, it was broadcast live by the people who did it in real time. The whole world watched it live. And people saying it didn't happen? How do you wrap your head around this? None of this makes any sense. I mean, I know there's anti-Semitism, but I've been talking about that for decades too, but like the extent of it. Yes, indeed. Yes, 100%. What does that mean? What does that mean? So, I was reminded of a different Gemara when I was thinking about this, Gemara in Bracha. Well, let me put it to you this way. I was talking to a young lady shortly after this all started who was really distressed about what happened. And she was really upset. And I've learned over the years that, you know, she was angry at God, and how could God do this, and, you know, why should I daven to him, and stuff like that. And I've learned over the years, and our sources say this also, if you read them correctly, or if you read them at all, actually, that when someone expresses thoughts like that, you have to give that space. You have to let... I didn't try to argue with her. Try to listen and let her say that, because you have to give that space. It's a message to say for EOs and other things. But then she said something else where maybe I shouldn't have, but I just blurted out, no, that's not true. And after saying, you know, God, maybe God's evil, he said, and then she said, oh, maybe there's no God at all. I said, no, that can't be true. I tried to stop myself. Why though? Because the fact that it makes no sense, the fact that it shows that I can't tell you why it's happening, but someone... It's just so bizarre. It's just so absurd. And then I remember the Gemara in Sechet Brachot. again, one of those psukim that, like, you know, you read it and you don't think about it. And then one day, in this case, it wasn't me, it was the Gemara who pointed out. I said, oh, yeah, good question. Mizmor le David bevarcho mipnei Avshalom bino. Right? David's son Avshalom rebelled against him and drove him out of Yerushalayim. And David, as he did many times in his life, and he wrote a parak of Tehillim about that. Mizmor le David bevarcho mipnei Avshalom bino, as he was running away from his son Avshalom. The Gemara asks, that makes perfect sense except for the first word. Mizmor le David? Mizmor is a song of praise. Kina le David mi ba'ile, said the Gemara. He should have called it a kina. How can you write yourself Mizmor? Was he praising God that his own son is trying to kill him and rebelling against him and kicking him out of Yerushalayim? And the Gemara goes on and gives a whole mashal. I'm starting to look at the clock, so I won't read it inside. But basically the Gemara says, David, it made so little sense that his own son was the one rebelling against him that he was able to say this is directly from Hashem. He had been told that there's going to be a punishment. He knew he had to be punished. And now it was clear if it's his own son, this is directly from Hashem. When things like that happen, it was just so clear that it has to be part of the process. Why it had to happen, I'm not going to dare to try to suggest. But it's clear to me that it's part of the process. It's just so, and the fact that even now, this tiny little thing, place called the Gaza Strip, like the entire world, there's actual genocides going on in multiple places on this planet, unfortunately, right? Real genocide. And the whole world is concerned only about whether we're going to go into Rafiah or not. Like, really? The whole world? But yes, yes, I'm Levadai just gone, for sure. And it's all part of the process, whether we understand the details or not. But we're supposed to, if the whole point is we have to take an active role, so what are we supposed to do with all this? And how can we go into Pesach? I didn't know how we were going to get through Purim. Somehow we did. And now we have to think about how we're going to experience Geula and Pesach. So just a few thoughts. Based on what we tried to suggest here. Look, I think 6 months in, and it's far from over, and we still have over 100 people in captivity who can only imagine what horrors they're experiencing if they're alive at all. And the soldiers that are still there, a soldier was killed, was buried today, I think. And that's before we deal with whatever is going to be in Lebanon and tens of thousands of people still outside their homes. So, I mean, things are far from over. But I think we're enough into this that we can step back a little bit and start to get a bit of a picture. Why it happened, I can't tell you. But at the same time, with all of the pain and with all of the anguish and with all of the worry, I'm able at least to see some very good things that have come out of this. That doesn't mean, God forbid, that it was worth it or anything like that, or it's justified. But everybody's been talking about Achdut and the horrific divisiveness on the verge of civil war that we were in 6 months ago. And how that turned around literally in an instant. How from Chilul Hashem, terrible Chilul Hashem that occurred throughout months, maybe climaxing on Yom Kippur in Tel Aviv, but really just Chilul Hashem for months, maybe years. Instantly there was huge Kiddush Hashem. The stories of what happened, hundreds of thousands of chayalim called up in instant, things that like just blow your mind, story after story after story, Israeli kids backpacking through India, you know, turning the world upside down so they can get to some airport as fast as possible so they can fly back from their right trip to India where, you know, people criticize, oh, they're all self-absorbed and all they want to do is so that they can get in there and risk their lives for their people. And and people who, whatever, you've heard the stories, and if I start, I'm not going to stop, but huge, huge, huge. The world, we showed the world, our enemies showed the world and showed us their true face, and we showed the world our true face as well, whether they're willing to see it or not. And not just here, around the world. Jews around the world waking up and realizing that they're Jews. Stories upon stories I've heard about that. I myself have a number of relatives who are not observant, whose kids, you know, we had to wonder whether, you know, whether they're going to have any connection with Am Yisrael, who suddenly started going to Chabad on campus every Shabbat and showing up at pro-Israel rallies and all kinds of stuff like that because something inside of them was... So, and ultimately, therefore, there's a huge opportunity here. And let me just maybe give one or two suggestions on what we have to do about it. I think the Achdut, everyone's saying it, there's no chiddush here. But it's what we managed to do as a nation, or, no way, look, again, this is maybe this is part of what Rabbi Yeshua was talking about, right? Just like we saw from Purim, Gadol Mesiras Tabas, right? As soon, you know, maybe that's what it takes, unfortunately, okay? But it literally took moments for us to snap out of this and realize that we're one people and pull together. Over the past few months, there are people that are working very hard, unfortunately, politicians, media, and others that are working very hard to try to bring things back to the way they were. And it's up to the simple people on the street to decide whether that's going to happen or not. It's just that simple. And Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of people across all communities, Datiim, Chilonim, Haredim, all over the place. There are people that are working on this. But in the end of the day, it's down to every single individual if we're going to let things go back to the way they were or if we're going to make a change. Geula means making a change. Geula means tomorrow has to be different than yesterday. And we're in the midst of a process that even though we have no idea where it's going, we don't understand a lot of it, to me it's very clear what each and every one of us can do. And the details depend on your particular situation, but there are 1,000 opportunities every day to just change the way we think and change the way we act as a nation. And maybe I'll share one thought on what that means, particularly for us. Okay. Again, we allow, all of us allowed. A lot of this has to do with politics and the way we conduct politics and the way we conduct political debates, and that's not a problem only in Israel, it's a problem all over the world right now, and we allowed ourselves to get sucked into the, you know, mode of what they call identity politics and not thinking about issues and just like, you know, fighting with each other based on whatever group we identify with or whatever it is. But in our particular case, there's a lot of ideology that's behind this. And the things that we fight about here in Eretz Yisrael are real issues. Whatever we were fighting about before, it's already starting to come back with the issues with the draft of Haredim and whatever else, and the judicial reform is around the corner. The stuff's all going to come back. And we're going to have to solve the problems. And things that we didn't deal with for 75 years, we're going to have to finally figure out how to deal with. But the question isn't what the solutions are to these things. The question is how we approach these things. And maybe I'll just leave you with one thought on that. I actually made a video. I don't know if anybody saw it, but if anyone's like, it's on YouTube, and I can send you the link. I gave a little video sheer, like I sat and just spoke to a camera and there was no audience. But I've been thinking about this a lot. And I was reminded of an essay that Rav Kook wrote about 120 years ago, shortly, like 2 or 3 years after arriving in Eretz Yisrael, Mamash at the beginning of his time here, in which he, you know, at the time, much, much, much more than today, even, the conflicts between the groups that are today called Chilonim and Haredim was, and there was no one else really at the time. This is the very beginning of the kibbutzim and the secular Zionist movement, all that, 1904 or something like that, we're talking about 1906, somewhere around there. And Rav Kook, unlike all the other Haredi rabbis of his time, and he was definitely part of their group as well, but he came out with a whole different approach. He said these people are holy, these young kids that are, you know, literally doing things like eating pork on Yom Kippur. I think they actually used to do that in some of the kibbutzim. It's even before the kibbutzim were built, though, but it started in Europe already. He said they're holy tzaddikim who are just confused about certain things. And he said the reason we don't, that they're rejecting the Torah is because they're not really rejecting the Torah, they're rejecting the inferior version of the Torah that we've taught them. And if you want, you can look at the video. I quoted specific sections of this essay. It's called Hador. Basically, Rav Kook said, essentially, we have to talk to each other. We have a lot to teach this generation, he said. But in order to do that, we also have to learn from them. And they have something to teach us. Did people listen to Rav Kook back then? I don't know. But all Jews have something to teach other Jews, at least groups, and probably each individual. And if we take that attitude, if instead of trying to force our views on others, if we actually listen to others, even those who we think are completely wrong, those who we know are completely wrong, can still teach us things. Because they may be right about something, and we may be wrong about things. And if we all try to change the way we do these things, and some really good things can happen. There's a real opportunity now for Am Yisrael to emerge from this in a completely different place. And all of us, on all sides, when I say Am Yisrael, I mean all of Am Yisrael, to really be more united. United doesn't mean that we agree, and united certainly doesn't mean that we accept things that we don't accept. It means that if we all try to learn from each other, we can actually all be so much greater and so much understand things so much more. And then we can also, and this is where the Am Levadad Yishkon comes back again, ultimately we're supposed to be leading the world. And I think the world knows it. The only ones who don't know it is us. And that's part of what's behind all this insanity that's going on now. Because they're trying to stop us from showing our true face. And if, in fact, all of this does mean somehow that really big things are happening and that the Geula really, really is within reach, then it's up to each and every individual here to make that happen. And the opportunities here. So on the one hand, Pesach comes with this message to us, right? That don't just look at today, don't just look at last week, don't just look at last year. Realize this is a long process. We've been going through this for thousands of years, and there's a long, maybe we're nearing the end of it, I hope so, but there's a future ahead, and it's all part of a continuum, and we have to make it happen. And we can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. We have to make it happen, each one of us in our own way and in our own lives. And we do paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore we don't end just by saying Asher B'Amin, we end with Rabbi Akiva. So let's preempt the Seder, and we can start this Seder right now. Kain Hashem Elokeinu. Maybe we don't even have to wait past this Pesach. Maybe we can get things fast enough. We still have 2.5 weeks. If we do have a Korban Pesach, the Seder is in Yerushalayim, so your kitchen cleaning will be easier. Kain Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoteinu Yagienu LeMoadim VeLeRegalim Acherim Abayim LeKrateinu LeShalom. שמחים בבניין יברך ובססים בבודותך ונאכל שם מן הזבחים ומן הפסחים אשר יגיע אדמה מלכים מזבח אכל רצון ברוך אתה שם גל ישראל.